Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, and you with me, inshallah, from now for another hour, probably an hour and a half today. We might go a little extra, inshallah ta'ala. We are speaking about the great, the Sheikh Ihsan Hendrik, who was known as the part of the presidency of the Majlis of the Muslim Judicial Council, who was also there from the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. He was always somebody that had that also as part of one of the key aspects with regards to his ambitions in life. But more than that, today we want to speak about Sheikh Ihsan Hendrik as a father, as a sister, as a brother, and more importantly, as a son. And is this one aspect that I want to discuss today is the stuff that the parent plays in the life of a child. And this is something we must understand, and I want to bring it out very strongly. And it's at a little later stage, perhaps, we can expound on the reason why we're doing that. To begin with, we're speaking to the sister of Maulana Ihsan Hendrik, Sister Fozia Hendrik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Sister Fozia, you live on air with us.
Yes. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, brother Ubaidullah. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to all the listeners of Radio Islam. And shukran, brother Ubaidullah, for giving me the privilege and honor to speak about a very, very special and dear person to the family, to my, and especially to my mother that is also sitting very close to me here at our home in Shoma.
I want to start speaking about Sheikh Ihsan Hendrik, but before I do that, perhaps let us start off our conversation when you and I were discussing in the week. Who is the mother of Sheikh Ihsan Hendrik?
Brother Ubaidullah, I would firstly like to say alhamdulillah and shukran to the entire community out there that wished and sent their condolences and their well wishes upon the family and the du'as. That is definitely what has kept us also strong and firm to give the support to our very aged, and now I can use the statement saying very frail mother. She has definitely lost a very dear, a third born child, but very dear to her heart. And the days that come are more harder than the day before. Maulana has played such a vital role in the entire family's life that my mother could see the signs of him at a very tender age. And not forgetting also that both my parents, my late father, Haji Muhammad Saleh, was a person that embraced Islam at a very tender age of 9 years old. My mother herself, she embraced Islam when she met my father, obviously. They both had very challenging bring up in life. They both had very much challenges, especially when it came to my mother embracing Islam, my father coming to Worcester, a small town in the Boland. But Allah Ta'ala has brought so much of rahmah and barakah in their life by letting them give birth to Maulana, my brother.
Subhanallah.
You know, even my granny, my mother is her only child, and my granny was a Christian, a very staunch Christian, but she played such a vital role when she saw the behavior. Even she always used to tell my mother, in the manner my father approached her, she felt contented to give her only child over to the beautiful Deen of Islam. And with that, Maulana always, in every speech, in every gathering, he always reiterated from where he came, the humble beginnings we had as a family, and especially never ever he forgot about my mother and my father. If I tell people they were on social media going around the WhatsApps about Maulana and speaking about his family, that is but just mere a drop in the ocean of what our family and our upbringing really was like. So at the end of the day, Maulana was not just the very famous Maulana Ihsan, a Palestinian activist, a president of the Muslim Judicial Council. He was a family man. He was a brother. He was a father. He was a husband to his wife. And for that alone, there is things that the outside world, he was a very private person also. He had his moments where he used to come home and he used to sit with the family, and he used to make it very important of always the hadith of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying the greatness of family bonds and family ties. Maulana always used to make it a point of the children that must be taken great care of in the family. We are 8 children, and the brothers especially. I've got 2 of my brothers here also with me that would also like to say something about Maulana, because there is immense, immense, immense information about family life that we can share about Maulana. But the one thing in particular he always made a point of is that we should respect and always be there for each other. Our daily conversations with him, he would always be the one giving us great wisdom, challenges, and likewise he also had his challenges. If I tell Brother Ubaidillah, when Maulana left the home at the tender age of 15, I can remember I was still a very, very young child, and standing on the train station in Worcester, I was about 5 years old. I can remember that night so greatly. He actually spoke to my younger brothers, the ones just after, I'm the baby, by the way, in the family. So Maulana told them, take care of each other. Faiz, which is also here with me, Brother Faiz and Brother Nazir. And we all had our duties. And my father was there to see that everything goes as it should be going. He left home. He went to go study in Newcastle. And the letters he used to write, my mother always made it a point, if the postman came and we used to see the blue envelope or the yellow envelope, in those days there was this color envelopes, she used to always have us all seated down and read the letters. And the nasiha that would come from those letters, being him a student of Deen under the great Alim, Maulana Sima, his principal, and many other ulama that taught him, may Allah Ta'ala bless them also, for they also planted the seeds in Maulana's life. And we had to sit down, and my father and my mother would read those letters to us, and they would tell us, this is what your brother is doing. Your character should complement him by everybody in the town knows your brother is studying Deen, so your people's character should be befitting of that. And that alone made us understand that he is being regarded in the family as special, because my mother said when he was small he already indicated people in the area would send him with a list to do their shopping. Then my mother would say, Majesta Kling, you're too young, you can't go, but he could take that responsibility. He would care for the aged people. He would go and visit after Asr for very old people in town. And I can remember always, he was always the one, and with my brothers Faiz, Rashad, they would have sleepovers in the masjid. And my mother would always used to shout in Afrikaans, there was a time that Maulana used to work at different shops in Worcester. And there was a lot of Indian community also in Worcester, the Alis, the Wali Omar, and particularly Maulana worked in a little cafe of the Wali Omar. And that lady, Haji Zubaida, she was from India, but she was the inspiration also, used to always talk to Maulana about, one day you must go to India. But with that pocket money that he earned, he would buy us, the younger ones, always something, a treat on a Friday. He would always, you know, come home and have something to share with the siblings, a little chocolate, even if we have to share it, a packet of chips, even if he was the one taking it out and sharing it. And then he used to always look after us at night. If my mother was a nurse for more than 30 years and my father, he was a tailor. So the family structure of Maulana was very important. He took responsibility along with my parents looking after the rest of the family. But with that pocket money he used to buy, he bought himself a tracksuit and he had it made written at the back in Afrikaans. Islam betekent vrede. And he used to walk around in town proudly with that tracksuit. He had a chopper bicycle. This is vivid memories. My brother Faiz, that is directly after Maulana, he will be able to tell you more. But we had great, great family life in our home. And Maulana used to, whenever he comes from Newcastle, Darul Uloom, the three younger ones, which is myself and Umar and Aziri, would use the room which we had in our house, the salah room. He would teach us maktab, madrasa. He would teach us from very small how to understand what is tawheed, what it is to believe in Allah and du'as. He was very, very influential Islamically in our life. I remember when it was Maghrib time, there wasn't a way that we could ever go out after Maghrib, because now the kitab reading would start. He would go out with Jamaat even. In his younger life, he was very active in the Jamaat life. And that is what my brother always says. That is where they also picked up valuable, valuable lessons in life. Say, I can remember there was a time that Maulana took the journey with a bus to Pietermaritzburg of an Ijtima as a young teenager, and he came back with beautiful scarves for my mother, and she treasured up till today. She has it. She got all these beautiful memories. Then our granny also. He never excluded my granny from anything in our house, because she is now living with us. My mother is her only child. And even she had so much of great respect. The madrasas used to have the gatherings of the jalsas, and it used to take place in Cape Town. And my granny would accompany my brother Faiz and Rashad and Maulana to these gatherings if my parents was working. And so the journey of Maulana's education started on, and the family had to be there and to support. And at that time we didn't understand what Mashura is, but that is what we had in our house always. My father used to do the cutting of the material in the lounge, and used to call everybody, and he said, everybody must come in, they must come sit around the table. And as he's cutting the material, he would explain, your people's brother are studying, is in India. No luxuries this month. We have to send the money to India. So we as his siblings, we can say, Alhamdulillah, with the hikmah and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've also invested in our brother by making great sabr along with our parents. And when Maulana returned from his journey of education, he thanked us by not giving us gifts, by sharing his knowledge with us. He used to share on every family gathering. He shared everything with us, from the hardships, from the moments that he missed at home. And he was just a person that always had that great wisdom to share with the family, how to always stay together and to be there for one another.
Sister Fozia, in our discussions during the course of the week, you were explaining to us how your mom and dad would work so hard that they would not rely on any sponsorship or donors or something of that sort, but they worked for every cent to make sure that when Maulana studied, and he went to Nadwatul Ulama in Lucknow, studied under great people, Maulana Manzoor Nomani, Imam Hassan Nadwi, etc., the great thinkers and the giants of the time. You want to just perhaps enlighten us about the sacrifice of the family in not accepting any sponsorship, but working hard so that the family as a collective may be able to sponsor what we would know as the famous Sheikh Ihsan Hendrik, for all the service that he had done subsequent to that.
Yes, 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 Brother Bailila, that is definitely a point that I made, because the same I also have been fortunate to go inside, but Maulana adopted the same as my father did. And my father actually was a tailor, and the trade is such that you can't say I have a fixed amount of money. My mother was a nurse, but they had one rule in the house. There's not going to be sponsorship. And we always used to think, why is my father taking? He said, no, Allah Ta'ala has granted me the son. I have to work so that he can attain the knowledge and come back, and he needs to serve the community also. So the value of not attaching everything to money, that was the firmness and the yakin that my father taught us, and that the rest of us would sacrifice. I remember, you know, Brother Ubaidullah, that it used to rain, it used to storm. My mother, that time there was no taxi services, and I used to stand on a little crate and I would see how my mother goes and work. But at the end of the day, she always used to tell us, this is not going to be in vain. So the money used to be sent in different ways to India. It was very challenging even at that time to send money through overseas to Maulana. And the lesson was just taught that everybody must sacrifice, and they feel that this is what they want to give their son. And to think that my father embraced Islam, and this is what Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. And yes, indeed, my brothers were also very instrumental, because they assisted. They used to get for them holiday jobs, weekend jobs, and they assisted along with my parents. So we all knew the importance of Maulana sacrificing his time with the family to go and study. It used to be marvelous and exciting when he comes home, because now after Fajr in the mornings, we would sit around a little small paraffin heater, and we could endlessly listen to all his stories from India. And he always used to tell us, if you want to learn about life and sabr, you must go stay in India and the environment that he studied in. And he always used to do the hikmah of my mother as well. In the morning he would get up and the house would be clean. My mother say from small he didn't have actually much zest for school. There was days that he used to feel, at that time it was the apartheid era, so many times the school was disrupted with riots. And then he would tell my mother, no, you don't want to be part of that. Not that he don't want to be part of fighting for justice and apartheid, not to be, but it was just that he was not easy with it. And especially my mother was telling me that he made it clear to the teachers that he cannot miss a Jumu'ah. He cannot miss, so much so that he made my father go see the principal at that time to fix the time that he could leave, because he wasn't even prepared to leave in half an hour before Jumu'ah. So, yes, he was not just a Maulana for the community. He was a brother, he was a father, he was a guide, because my father had to sometimes relocate to Cape Town to go and assist other tailors to work. Then he took the role and he took the lead as the father in the house. And for that, we miss him, because a simple phone call, he would always have something so great to advise you and guide you and teach over to us. His qualifications and that, he never used to speak about it. Many a times we were surprised to hear about things that he's done. We used to be surprised to hear that he's on this organization, or there was many things that he kept to himself. He always used to just come to us and he'd say, make dua for me. My family is my structure, where I come. And I believe every person in his capacity of leadership have major challenges. And I want to say tonight to you, Maulana had his fair share of major challenges.
I can believe.
But wallahi, when he used to come to us as his brothers, his sisters, his children, is today also parents, they are adults, we used to be his comfort. Not discussing his challenges, but just we used to smile about stories, speaking about childhood, and it would just, you could just see it release the stresses that he has, and at the end would never leave the company without saying we must make dua for him and he needs us. At the age of 4, he told our mother he wants to become a sheikh already. So my mother knew from very, very, very young in his life what kind of a leader he would be, because he was always the one to come to us as the family and guide us and inspire us. You know, there was a time when Maulana was in India, and my mother and father so much wanted him to meet up with my father in Makkah, but some war took place at that time of the year. But he was a person, he always used to know the wisdom, why and how and why things. He didn't force his way in anything. And my father was looking for him every single day in Sai Street, thinking today the plane will come from India bringing him in. And he actually stayed behind in India because he couldn't get his visa and stuff. So he told my father that the time was not there ready. He was not ready yet to perform his Hajj, his first Hajj. So with everything, he always understood. He always had that wisdom. And he taught to us that nothing happens without Allah Ta'ala's plan. So I would like to give one of my brothers, Nazir, also an opportunity to speak. Ubaidullah, if you are comfortable, or Brother Faiz is also there. I've got a brother, Rashad.
Which one you want?
Say again, Ma.
What we're going to do, we just take Ma Abdul Khaliq Ali now, and after we take him, we carry on with one, two of the brothers. Is that fine?
Yes, yes, that's not the problem, inshallah.
We are speaking to the Honorable Ma Abdul Khaliq Ali from the presidency of the Muslim Judicial Council, yes. A colleague that worked with Murana Ihsan Hendricks for many, many, many years. Murana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Mawlana Ubaidullah, and our greetings to all the listeners of Radio Islam.
Maulana, we're speaking about a colleague, the former president of the Muslim Judicial Council, a great colleague of yours. You all have worked together. I've seen you all work together, a friend of yours as well. Maulana, what are some of your thoughts, and probably if I can ask you to divide your thoughts into three. One is, Maulana is a friend, Maulana is the president of the Muslim Judicial Council, and Maulana is a Palestinian activist, and perhaps just give us some of your insights regarding Maulana Ihsan Hendricks.
Yeah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Jazakumullah for the opportunity. And indeed, Maulana Ihsan, he was a very unique person, very private as a person. And at the same time, when Maulana Ihsan used to be with his friends and amongst ourselves, there were a lot of humor. And Maulana could very easily relate to some of the important anecdotes that Sheikh Nadi Muhammad Rahmatullah Alayhi used to relate. As we had a lot of things in common, alhamdulillah. We traveled quite far distances together. We spent working hours together. And there were moments of all kinds where there has to be a level of seriousness when it comes to the work of the president or the work of the Muslim Judicial Council or the work of the Ummah. But then there are also moments where we can be able to lighten up and be able to share some afterthoughts about certain matters and meetings and so forth. And those are dimensions that will always stand out. The fact that on the one hand, Maulana is internationally recognized, but equally on the other hand, his personality was such that even the very poor, humble, noble person, it's a very unique feature where on the one hand, Maulana Ihsan could sit with the president of the country and be able to present himself in the most diplomatic way in getting across a message on behalf of the Muslim community or on behalf of the matter that had to be discussed. But equally in the same time, when he he descends from that particular pedestal of engagement on that particular level. We had a brother, Rahmatullah Ali Abdul Rashid, has passed away. He was our caretaker. And Maulana had a very special bond with Abdul Rashid. Abdul Rashid had the closest relationship with Maulana Ihsan. And Maulana Ihsan was able to engage with him on a one-to-one level. And one of the unique features of Maulana was the fact that when it used to be Friday, Jumu'ah, Abdul Rashid had one home to go. When it was Eid Salah, he had one home to go. Maulana Ihsan's table was the table for Abdul Rashid, was the table for Eid. And it is amazing that when anybody would walk into the premise of the MDC, where there is some need or some type of a situation, it looked like Maulana cared much more, went out of his way to facilitate and accommodate those that walk in, to make sure that some type of an attention or some type of an opportunity is given for a person in this particular regard. And then obviously, in the 10 years of his presidency, the Muslim Judicial Council has developed and bounced and leaped, and in those particular aspects, both internationally as well as from a governmental perspective, or even in the development of the organization itself. Maulana was very, very disciplined. When the day that he was elected as the president of the MDC, he made it absolutely clear that he will drive the organization constitutionally and policy-driven. And that is one of the key and the strengths that he has developed over the years, alhamdulillah, to be disciplined in accordance to that. I was there relating to somebody the other day when it used to be some very important and urgent and serious issues. Then Maulana would, the day prior to that, he will almost get his mindset. And he would be able to be so tuned in a few minutes or half an hour before a very important matter would be discussed. Then he sits almost ready, awaiting for whatever is going to be confronted with, and to deal with it in such a diplomatic way that many challenging issues used to be confronted in a manner of such diplomacy to resolve it to the point where there used to be benefit. And I feel that in this particular way he developed also the responsibility for the Palestinian issue. Just tonight, we were sharing with our community, as you know, Maulana Ubaidullah, we have the program here in the Western Cape, initiated by Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel and Maulana Ihsan, As-Siyam Hatta Tahrir, fasting until liberation. These are amongst the many wonderful initiatives that Maulana Ihsan has undertaken on behalf of the Muslim community in South Africa, to be connected and to take the amana and responsibility of the Palestinian issue to heart. And really 2011 would be regarded as a peak, in the sense that when Maulana returned from Gaza and he is being told by the Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh to say that we need to have some greater awareness around the matter of Gaza. And believe me, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, that really has escalated to the point where today South Africa, and we cannot deny, neither can we ever remove, the contribution of the consciousness or the type of vibrancy that we experience in a South African context towards Palestine, or the commitment towards Palestine, and it has much to do with that particular vision driven by Maulana Ihsan. So really, we can continue speaking. There may be many other people. We have fond memories. We miss Maulana tremendously. And at the same time, his vision, his thought, the sharpness of his, the exceptional memory that Allah has blessed him with. At the same time, the narrative as he presents the matter on the table, that relates back to a couple of years back, It was one of the phenomenal strengths of Maulana, where he can verbatimly quote a matter and relate an incident almost as it had happened yesterday. These are some of the things that really we miss, and we will continue to make dua that Allah must elevate his status. As Ibrahim Rasul said at the day of the janazah, Maulana Ihsan has fulfilled his haq. Now it is our duty to continue his legacy and his teachings. As much that he has contributed, I mean in the South African context and a political perspective, he has driven the agenda in terms of our contribution as citizens in this country. He has continuously made references to the fiqh al-mawatana, the fiqh of citizenship. He has driven the subject of fiqh al-aqaliyya, the fiqh of minorities. And these are such critical areas for ulama to venture into for further research and wanting to further understand this particular important application. I think these are very important dimensions that requires further deliberations and so forth.
Maulana, I want to ask you one question, and that is, Maulana Ihsan is a friend. What
yes.
kind of a friend was he to you, Maulana?
You know, Maulana Ihsan on a one-to-one basis, Maulana used to have an interest almost in anyone. He had a business. I just get the opportunity to sketch a scenario. Allah has blessed him with a business IQ. And so he started in partnership with one of the Arab brothers, a toilet factory. But his interest was such as a friend. He was never focused on his own interest only. He started with a pie factory. And his interests were, come on board, here's an opportunity, here's a sample, you go and sell it. That is a type of interest and interest that he had for a friend. There were a lot of things. I mean, in terms of cracking of jokes, Maulana Ubaidullah. Maulana Ihsan was an expert in that. And he, any gathering of people, he used to have his moments of seriousness. But when Maulana is able to pull off some good ones, good jokes, subhanallah, nobody would be able to remain quiet and silent without a laughter. And he used to have a lot of interest in the personal well-being of people, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. And I think anybody can speak about that. Allah really reward him for all what he meant to us and how he cared, really.
Inshallah. One on behalf of the Jamiatul Ulama, Radio Islam, all of us, really our condolences, the Muslim Judicial Council, the different causes that Maulana was serving, and also our condolences to the family and the family of the Muslim Judicial Council as well.
Jazakumullah, Maulana. You know, this is such an important program that you have rolled out, and I really believe this is a preservation for the next generations to come. When they are going to be picking up safahat of the pages of the scholars who have contributed to Islam and the Muslim community.
It was Abdul Khaliq Ali, the Vice President of the Muslim Judicial Council, who was giving us his insight to a friend that he knew for many, many years. Obviously, and Maulana was explaining to us regarding Maulana Ihsan Hendricks. Whereas before we take one of the brothers, I think the hour is almost up already. We'll carry on, inshallah, after the 10 p.m. news. Let's take a listen to the great Sheikh Ihsan Hendricks, and thereafter, inshallah, we'll be speaking to one of the brothers.
وحجة على الناس أجمعين وعلى آله الطيبين وصحبه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Secondly, allow me to say that Fajr al-Islam is a brilliant initiative, and we must pray and make dua to the Almighty Allah that Fajr al-Islam will continue to grow and gain more momentum, inshaAllah. It is all of our obligation to support Fajr al-Islam. certainly allow me to divert slightly to Sheikh Sulaiman Salam. I must tell you the story of Sheikh Sulaiman. And with his kind permission, I think I am the only person that can tell that story. I don't think anybody else in Patreon can tell that story. I remember Sheikh Sulaiman from the day he arrived in South Africa. I remember him from the day that he arrived in South Africa. And when I listened to this man's broad vision and what he wants to do, I thought to myself, what does an Egyptian brother want to do here in South Africa? But Sheikh Sulaiman has proven, indeed, that he persevered. His first few weeks in South Africa.
Of Palestine, inshallah. Very significantly, the Masjid al-Quds have chosen the month of August. And even though our day coincided with Women's Day in South Africa, I thought that today's message here in the Jumu'ah is to draw your attention to what happened approximately 48 years ago, the 21st of August, 1960.
You're listening to Ulama Profiles on Radio Islam International.
So, respected listeners, that was Moran Ihsan Hendricks, and speaking obviously some selected clips that our engineer Usama was so kind enough to take. We are speaking about Moran Ihsan Hendricks, the Palestinian activist, the president of the Muslim Judicial Council, the former president, and obviously a brother, a son, a husband to the people of the family, and that is something we're touching on today. We're speaking to one of the brothers. I'm not sure I'm speaking to Nazir or Faiz. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Nazir.
Who am I speaking to?
Nazir, brother Nazir.
Brother Nazir, Jazakallah so much for your time this evening. Perhaps you can share with us some of your thoughts regarding your honorable brother, Moran Ihsan Hendricks.
Yes, brother Ubaidullah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah and to all the listeners of Radio Islam. Moran Ihsan, brother Ubaidullah, I must say from the onset that at this time, it is not easy to speak about Maulana because we miss him dearly. But alhamdulillah, we are happy and we are thankful for the community, for the support and the condolences. And we can say, alhamdulillah, that Maulana dedicated his life towards Islam and towards the upliftment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed blessed Maulana with sincerity, intellect, knowledge, vision, and a profound wisdom, and with a deep burning concern for the upliftment of the ummah. And as far as I can remember, Maulana was always very passionate about serving the deen of Islam, and that made Maulana to work tirelessly and selflessly in drawing the people to the liberation of Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa and the rest of Palestine. One of the very important lessons that we learn from Maulana as family and as brothers, that he always was more concerned with the needs and wishes of others than with his own. He selflessly placed the welfare and interests of others above his own. And another very important lesson, brother Ubaidullah, was through his life and character, Maulana taught us how a Muslim should always place integrity and honesty, the love and obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above personal gains. And it reminds us as a family, for me as a brother, of how Maulana was in the forefront of the Palestinian cause, traveling the world, and how Maulana would always choose to protect us as his family from many challenges by not taking family members with him on his travels. And indeed today we understand there was great wisdom behind that, because Maulana was a person with great vision, great understanding, and he always had the concern for the Ummah and for the betterment and the upliftment of the community, and the broader community and the Ummah. He dedicated his life to the liberation of Al-Aqsa and the Holy Lands, and Maulana made it his life's mission to be part of the liberation of Masjid Al-Aqsa. And we make dua, inshallah, that soon we will witness the liberation of Masjid Al-Aqsa and the holy city of Al-Quds. Maulana believed that the heart of every Muslim should be connected with our first Qibla that remains and still remains under Zionist occupation. And our family life, as brothers, we grew up, and I can still remember as a young child how my father would wake us up in the morning to go to Masjid for Fajr, and Maulana was always in the forefront. He was not only our eldest brother, he was also our Amir. He would teach us, he would walk with us in front of us. And when Maulana decided to go study abroad, we missed him dearly. And at that time, we didn't have the luxury of internet or cell phones or Skype. We had to write letters, and sometimes it would take months to reach India, those letters. Or if Maulana would reply, it would take months for that letter to reach home. And as my sister Fauzia stated, that Alhamdulillah, my father played the most important role, because my father and my mother would always remind us that we need to make sabr, we need to sacrifice, because Maulana is out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time it was not easy. There was many challenges, many difficulties, but Alhamdulillah, today we can see the fruits of it. My father is no more there. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant both of them the highest place in Jannah, inshallah.
Ameen.
May Allah place His forgiveness and His mercy on both of them, inshallah. And we make dua that Allah will reunite us all one day in Jannah, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah.
And Brother,
in terms of your own personal interaction, what's the one personal thing you remember about your brother Maulana Ihsan?
Maulana Ihsan, as a brother, he was always very open. He was very accommodative. He would always listen. He was always someone that would sit and listen to you. He would never interrupt you. He would listen to you, and with great hikmah, he would always advise and reply, and subhanallah, and that is why we miss him dearly. Maulana was the type of person that any time during the day or night, you could go to him, you could consult with him. He always had time for the family. And through all the challenges, yes, the journey for Maulana with the liberation of Al-Quds and the rest of Palestine was not easy. And one of the greatest contentments for Maulana was when he came from office, or when he came from abroad from his travels, he could always come to his family and sit down and spend time with the family, and that gave Maulana great joy. And we could always sit with him and talk to him, and he would explain to us and he would advise us, and even with our children he would advise us. And he was just amazing. He was this open person. He would never make you feel, how can I say, Brother Baidullah, he would never make you feel less important, or that because he's this respected alim, he would never make you feel belittle us. He would never rectify us in front of others. He would always choose the right moment and the right time to speak to you and to advise you. So he was a very, I believe that Allah granted him great wisdom. And through his life, alhamdulillah, and we learned many lessons. And he loved giving. Whenever Maulana traveled, he would come back and he would love to give gifts to the family. And he always said that we need to increase the love amongst each other, purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, Maulana was a very loving person. He was a very caring person, extremely caring and extremely loving. And family values was on top of his priority.
Brother Nazir, we're going to just stop there. We need to take a quick air break and take the 10 o'clock news. Just keep the line, inshallah. We'll carry on with yourself and your brother after the news, inshallah.
Yes, brother.
Jazakallah. Respected listeners, we're just going to take the news. And after the news, Osama was kind enough to just give us a bit of time after the news to discuss Morana. And thereafter, inshallah, we will continue. Gee, respected listeners, Osama was kind enough to say, Morana, the program is so interesting, why you want to stop it? We'll play the news at the ending. So inshallah, we shall carry on with the news and with the program, and thereafter, inshallah, we shall try and just conclude it at the ending. Brother Nazira, are you still with us?
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Ubaidullah, yes.
It's quite an interesting program, and I must say so many things have come about. I'm going to ask you perhaps to just wrap it up, and then we speak to your brother Faiz after that.
Yes, Brother Ubaidullah.
What else do you want to share with us regarding Morana's lifestyle from a personal perspective?
From a personal perspective regarding Morana's lifestyle?
Yes.
Brother Ubaidullah, from a personal perspective, Morana placed very great importance on his children. The eldest being Muhammad Yusuf, who is now studying in Cairo. He graduated recently from the Al-Azhar University. And then there's his daughter Atiya. She is now staying in Jeddah. And then there's the other one, Noura. She is in Cape Town, also studying. And then there's another one, Dakira, who is in Johannesburg. She's working, married and working in Johannesburg. And Maulana, with Muhammad Yusuf in particular, studying at the Al-Azhar University, that was for Maulana, he was very proud of his son being a graduate of the Al-Azhar University. And Maulana placed great importance on his children studying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, Atiya also, she became a hafidah. So yes, family life to Maulana was very important. His love for his children and his love for the rest of the family. And Maulana would always, from, I can remember when we were very young at a tender age, Maulana would introduce us to reading good Islamic literature, and he greatly invested in his kids, in his own kids. And Maulana would always talk to us about great Islamic thinkers, because Maulana believed that a Muslim should always be very open-minded and broad-minded. And even Maulana taught me one day that before you read a book, that it is very important that you know who is the writer. You must know the history of the writer, and then you must understand the title of the book, why the reader or why the writer chose that title, specific title for the book. And after understanding that, then you can read the book. So alhamdulillah, there's many lessons that we learned from Maulana, and the Islamic values that he instilled in us. And my father played recently, I think it was last year, Maulana told me personally that my father, he studied in India, he studied in Newcastle, he studied in India, he studied in Malaysia, and he told me that indeed our father was his best ustad. Alhamdulillah. And yes, Brother Bailada, concerning another factor about Maulana, Maulana made it clear to us that he will not be there forever. And he knew it was very important that the struggle, the Palestinian cause, is very, very important. And Maulana would always tell us that one day, if he's no more, if anything happens to him, that we as the family members, we as his brothers and his sisters, needs to promise him that we will take forward his legacy and his life's works. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the necessary knowledge and the necessary hikmah and guidance to fulfill that task, inshallah. And Allah make it easy upon us and the rest of the community, inshallah.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Perhaps I could have a chat with your brother.
Brother Faiz?
Faiz, please.
Yes, Brother Ubaidullah, just hold on. Jazakallah khairan, Brother Ubaidullah, for affording me the opportunity to speak on behalf of one and a inshallah. Just hold on for Brother Faiz, Brother Ubaidullah.
Listen, we are speaking on the family, to the family of Sheikh Ihsan Hendricks. May Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. May Allah Ta'ala make it sad that his ambition
Can you just hang on for Fawzia? I think Brother Faiz is not feeling too well.
Not a problem.
Hi, Assalamu alaikum, Maulana.
Hi,
Mafia. We're saying Brother Faiz, Maulana. Hi, Brother Faiz is very emotional because he received the ajal of Maulana in his arms, so he's, you know, by talking about Maulana, it's bringing so much of emotions, and it takes very much strength to self-control not to bring a tear.
No, we can understand. In our program, if someone has to tear also, sometimes our listeners also tear in terms of what the scholars we discuss on the radio speak about as well. Sister Fozia, we've discussed quite a bit of Maulana. I want to just bring the program to an end, speak a little bit about his illness, and then just ask you if there isn't anything that we've touched on to just wrap it up for us, please.
Yes, inshallah. And then, Maulana, am I allowed to say thanks to a few people? Can I mention their names?
Yes, of course. Please do carry on, Sister Fozia.
Oh, okay. Yes, Maulana, Ubaidullah, shukran once again for allowing my brother Nazir also to give his input. Unfortunately, all my other brothers could not make it to come. And like Nazir said, his children that are staying abroad, Muhammad Yusuf, Atiya, and Noura, and the Akra that are listening in, we want to say to you people, it is not easy because I know their father was their everything. And for Muhammad Yusuf, Sheikh Muhammad Yusuf saying in Egypt, he said, Maulana actually introduced also the way we should address each other. So his children called me Amati. He said, it's not difficult. I could not be at the janaza of my grandfathers. And now Allah Ta'ala has also made it such that I could not be there for the janaza of my own father. But however, he came to visit his father just 2 weeks before his father passed away. He left back to Egypt. And Alhamdulillah, Maulana was married to Sister Hayru. She's a Sunday. And her children, Zahir, Abu Bakr, Abdurazak, Maaf, Zakira, and Yasin, they also played a very vital role in Maulana's life, especially for the last 3 years of his life that he was married to Sister Khairi. We want to say shukran. She really invested to the happiness of our brother and took great care of him when his health wasn't with him anymore, 100%. Especially as we know, if a husband is blessed with his wife, then Allah Ta'ala is blessed with her. So inshallah, we want to say to her shukran for what you've done for our brother. And in his lifetime, we made sure we always thanked her for investing her time into our brother's life and her children as well, alhamdulillah. Maulana's health issues always started even when he was young. My mother always said, I cannot say it is because it was in the family. Allah Ta'ala gives sickness to whoever he pleases and what different type of sickness also. But Maulana's challenge with his kidneys came on very long already. Okay. However, it is human sometimes to be a bit negligent, but because of his many travels,
And the most emotional travel that I undertook with my brother was to the Maharajan in Umm Fahm. Unfortunately, couldn't go through the border. That was the last year that he ever attempted in 2005 to go to Palestine. So he always used to tell us how challenging it was sitting on those borders, being interrogated, and he was even too scared to go to the toilet because we don't know what people can plan and it can just be an accident. But Allah Ta'ala protected him. But it was also because of all the sacrifices that he's done, not just for himself but for the Ummah. And his health suffered greatly with all those things. But he always used to say it's not about him. I particularly recall, you know, my brother was such a person of gratitude and thankfulness unto people that I graduated in 1994 from the Darul Uloom Zandvoort, and when I came back, I started a madrasa for girls, and we had fundraisings to take few girls for Umrah. But then, unfortunately, due to many of the parents not being able, so the money that was there was in the kitty, but we wanted to invest it into something also very fruitful. So the opportunity came that Maulana visited Palestine for the very first time. And then I said, Maulana, this is what we want to do. You are going to be traveling to Palestine. Yeah, please take this money or buy your ticket. And he always reminded me, he said, my very first ticket to Palestine was paid from the little madrasa that I operated. But once again, that is how we always used to make each and every person that stood with him in the journey and fought with him, he made everybody feel special. And not special only, but that we can also... Sadaqatul Jariyah was continuously on his lips. He believed that everybody should be having a part of the reward that Allah Ta'ala... You know, Maulana's Ustad, he's still alive, he's in Worcester, Muhammad Shah Khan.
Okay.
Sheikh Muhammad Shah Khan. Maulana would not come to Worcester without visiting his Ustad. And he said, this Ustad taught me Alif, Ba, and Ta. So there, even when I was studying, he used to always tell me, you know what, if you finished writing with a pen, don't throw the pen in the bin. That pen was your journey towards attaining ilm. So what you do with a pen, put it in a little box. He was a person also very sentimental. Myself and his daughter were laughing. He's got like box where this is in a little box. He was very sentimental, very treasurable. You could give Maulana something and come 10 years again and he would tell you, go fetch it there. This person gave me this. He was very sentimental and treasurable with no matter. He even got until... Now when he was in hospital, he was telling his children about the letters they used to write to him when they went kindergarten. So he actually was a person that held every person in high, high regard in his life. Yes, like I said, he had his fair share also of tears and of heartache, because that is also, we don't want to just paint the picture that he was just this perfect person. But he always used to be just in whatever he used to do. And he always used to teach us that Allah Ta'ala is the handler of affairs. Give it over to Allah if you don't know what to do. And, you know, Maulana, with his health, with his challenges, he always kept the family up to date. But there were times that we also respected his privacy with his family. And we would always used to make appointments with him and ask him, is it suitable, can we come around? Because his night has become sleepless. He couldn't sleep a proper night's sleep. He sometimes couldn't have a good night's rest, so his resting time would be in the morning. But that is all what our beautiful deen teaches us, you know. Don't just pop up and cause a difficulty for the person. But those were all the things that he even taught us, you know. So we would make appointments with him and say, Maulana, are you feeling okay? Can we come around? Is there anything that we can do for you? And then he used to also have so much of understanding. He said, no, you all are busy. You all have your life. Just make dua for him. But with my mother, we had our set dates. This is the time that the family is going to get together. And my mother is a humorous person. And Maulana always used to just say, Mother, you just know how to brighten up my days. He always used to say, I've never seen my mother angry. I never saw my mother in a bad mood. And that is all that he ever wanted. So we've learned all those qualities from our father and our mother that always believed that the family unit is very important. I've got a sister, Rhoda. She's a school teacher. She was also in Molina's life taking care of him when he was also not well. My brother Yunus, he is a carpenter. He built a very beautiful wall unit for Molina. We have all his Palestinian gifts and things that he got. And he always used to tell us, the struggle of Palestine is for the Ummah. It's not mine. But whatever I can do, I will do. And I want you people to always remember that this is what I want for the children, the grandchildren, the nieces and the nephews. Maulana made them feel very, very special. You know, on Eid it was like the cherry on the cake going to Maulana's house because he prepared a feast for the children. He believed it is a day that the children should be made happy and exciting and, yeah. So his health issues, many people used to look at him being big, bold, and they used to think probably this is a person that overeats himself. Well, why, Maulana, if he eats 2-3 morsels of food, sometimes it used to be a lot. He had major issues with water retention. And it's not always easy for a person, I mean, I'm also sometimes in the same situation of having swollen feet and that, and I can just imagine how he felt. He had it on a very, very, very great level. And he tried many things. He went to Turkey for some medical help. He went to different doctors. His doctor in Cape Town was very helpful to him, the kidney doctor. One doctor that may Allah Ta'ala grant him high stages in Jannah, Dr. Akuji, rahimullah, also a colleague that worked with him on the Palestinian issue. So, yes, Maulana's health was really not just in the last few years. It's been all the years he had sicknesses that he really made his performance, you know, going, especially with his activism and stuff. I mean, there was times that he couldn't even attend a march anymore because of his health issues, needing the bathroom. But I believe Allah Ta'ala gives sicknesses to cleanse that minority of, or the majority of sins and of what we have that we need to cleanse. Because Maulana, I need to tell you, when Maulana was in hospital, he made statements that today we find ourselves in tears just by thinking of it. One night he looked up in the sky and myself and his daughter said, make eye contact with us, look at us, we're talking to you. He said, no, don't you people see that beautiful house in the summer? Hello. He related the message, he said, tell my mother. Now, our house in Worcester's got a long stoop with a lemon tree, which is there ever since I opened my eyes. So I for the past 44 years, that lemon tree, and it's even older. He said, tell Daddy, because that is now how the grandchildren call her, that the white birds flew from the lemon tree so beautifully in pairs. And he did not go to sleep at night in that hospital without phoning my mother. Every single night, or whenever he had his phone and he was feeling a bit healthy, feeling a bit not too tired, he would phone and he would ask, can I speak to Daddy? Can I speak to my mother? And on the 1st of August, that particular night, he was very insisting, he must speak to my mother. He phoned, and we were at one of my other brother's house. He turned 50, and Maulana phoned on the second eldest, the one Faiz's phone, and he said, I must speak to my mother tonight. I cannot go to sleep without speaking to my mother. And on various occasions, when he phoned me in that last week before he died, he said, please keep the family together. Always make sure you feed
give, always make sadaqah. So he always, you know, people couldn't step in by his door, then he would ask, he would tell you, make tea, give biscuits, make food. On Eid day, at his house, there was people that would collect food for them. He made it a very, very important part of giving sadaqah. And Maulana Ubaidullah, that was even how our Christian granny used to be. Every Ramadan, she would give the entire Muslim neighborhood a little hamper of flour and eggs and sugar and, you know, to bake. My Christian granny used to do that. So the fundamentals in our house is so strong, I can sit till tomorrow morning, Fajr, to tell you so many stories. But I am very appreciative of your time. I want to say shukran to Maulana Abdul Khalik, a friend of Maulana, for his input. I want to say shukran to my brother. And I believe there is many other people that would love also to speak about Maulana. Maulana Ahmad in Ennerdale. He is a great, great friend of Maulana, and I want to say shukran to Maulana Ahmad for his commitment and his love and his care for the family, especially with my mother, because she is now our center point after losing Maulana. She's also too heartbroken to speak. She asked that people must keep her in your du'as always, inshallah. And that Allah Ta'ala must make the journey easy for us ahead, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Sister Fuzia, jazakallah so much for your time, your brothers, your mom as well. Tell her on behalf of those at the radio station, the Jamiatul Ulama, our condolences to her, the family, the people of Cape Town. And we hope, inshallah, the issue of the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa is something we could perpetuate and something we could work towards. And inshallah, whatever Morana has done, it is our dua that Allah Ta'ala accept it from Morana, overlook his shortcomings,
amen,
and grant him the highest of stages in paradise, inshallah.
Amen, amen, inshallah. I want to also say, Maulana Ubaidullah, shukran to Maulana Bam also of the Jamiatul Ulama, and many of the other ulama at the Jamiat. I know Maulana always used to speak fondly of the ulama in Johannesburg that always invited him for gatherings there. Shukran and jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Respected listeners, just almost an hour and a half on the life of Maulana Ihsan Hendricks. There's so much more that we could discuss upon, but when I was speaking to Sister Fozia, and I was telling her, and she said, Maulana, I want to speak about my brother, but I want to speak about his family life. Everyone knows about his liberation. They know about the accolade that he received for his Palestinian cause. But obviously, Maulana is a brother, Maulana is a father, Maulana is a son, was something that we concentrated on in today's program. May Allah Ta'ala make it such that each one of us, as much as we can play a role in the outside world, we can easily play a role, a productive role, a compassionate role, but the ones that are close amongst us. Jazakallah to Usama. He's taken out extra time this evening to be able to accommodate the program. We are grateful to him as well and the family. And once again, from myself, Ubaidullah Boja, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.